Open your Bibles today to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. For those of you who have graduated from high school, how old did you think you were when you graduated? We thought we could do it all, didn't we? I'm sitting there wondering, who's the oldest graduate here? Anybody graduate before 1950? Got one back here, one here. All right. When did you graduate? 49. All right. Over here, when did you graduate, Miss Christine? 46. Wow. Anybody before that? All right. I thought 52 years being out of school was a while. All right. I'm class of 71. All right. That's a long time ago in some ways. In some ways, I think it was day before yesterday. And I remember graduating and thinking, you know, I think I can pretty well do anything. Then by the time I was 21, I found out I didn't know how to do anything. And so life changes, doesn't it? Proverbs chapter 3, listen to the words of the wisest man in the world. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. Spiritual wisdom benefits the child of God in every facet of life. We think of education and we think of it only helping one area of life. But our education impacts all of our lives. Whether you are graduating this year from kindergarten or eighth grade or high school or college or postgraduate, trade school, or just the University of Hard Knocks, we learn something every year, don't we? I'll never forget being told that one of the things that seminary did for me was it did not give us and teach us everything that's in the Bible, but it gave us the tools to spend the rest of our lives mining the scriptures. The same thing with high school and college and every level of education. It gives us the tools that we need. There's a wonderful little book in the bookstores that says, and its title is, Everything You Ever Needed to Know About Life You Learned in Kindergarten. And sometimes I think that's true. As we see kids, as they learn to adjust and play together. I wonder how many times a kindergarten teacher has said, play fair. Do what you're supposed to. Sit down. Kindergarteners wouldn't get up and run around, would they? Oh, sure we would. All of us did. And one of the interesting things about our education is that our education not only helps us mentally and physically, but it allows us to also understand spiritual wisdom. The greatest wisdom that we can ever receive is the wisdom that God gives us, that James tells us that if we will pray for, God will give it to us liberally. Not just a little bit at a time, but all that we need for every circumstance in life. And I think it's very important that we understand that. Here in these verses, the Bible talks about wisdom, but it talks about a lot of other things that we are supposed to do in finding that wisdom. One of the interesting things about the Hebrew word that is translated wisdom, it is translated in the book of Exodus where Moses is calling out those men to build the tabernacle. It's translated as skill. Not wisdom, but skill. The ability to take what you've learned and apply it to the proper places in life. Skill. I've always admired the skill of a carpenter. I've always admired the skill of a seamstress. I particularly enjoy the skill of a good cook, don't you? You know, we think of that and we see the skills that are there. I wonder how many skills in life have been lost because there's no longer very many blacksmiths in the world. There's no longer very many people who horseshoeing for a living. Farrier, I believe, is the correct term for that. Think of all the skills that are out there that may be diminishing. And one of the things that I think we need to understand in our world is that we need the skills to be good disciples of Jesus Christ. That's a skill set that can be learned. It is a skill set that has to be honed. One of the things that I remember very vividly from growing up on a farm and for just simply mowing my yard from time to time over the years is a sharp blade cuts better than a dull blade. A sharp mind, a sharp heart, a heart that's fully committed to the Word of God will stop us from making mistakes in life that we don't need to make. Because some of the skills that we need to learn spiritually are simply that we must understand the principle of sowing and reaping. We reap what we sow. You say, well, now, wait a minute. You know, sometimes I do a bad action and nothing happens. Ladies and gentlemen, go plant some radishes today and go out there tomorrow and try to harvest them. They won't be there, will they? Sometimes it takes a while before we reap what we sow. But let me assure you, if you sow to the wind, you will reap to the whirlwind. Let me assure you, if you sin against God, there will come a judgment day. But for those of us who know the Lord, Solomon gives us some very interesting principles here on what not to do and also what to do. In these 12 verses, he tells us some things not to do and not to lose, but he also tells us the benefits of doing it right. I don't know how many times you were told growing up, but I was told often, a job that's worth doing is worth doing what? Right. Yeah, your daddy read the same book my daddy read. All right? It's worth doing it right. No shortcuts. Oh, think of the things that we think of that we can, oh, let's do a shortcut. There's no shortcuts to life, is there? Just like there's no such thing as a free lunch. Somebody's paying for it somewhere. In these verses, Solomon begins by saying, don't forget my teaching. Don't forget. How good you forgetter? Sometimes mine's working on overtime lately. Okay? And especially if it's something I don't want to do. Y'all never forget those things, do you? You know, at the first of the week, you make your to-do list, and There's number three, I really don't want to do that. And show up on Friday and, I hadn't done that yet. Oh, I'd like to forget about this one. Maybe I can put it off. Y'all know procrastination is a good doctrine, don't you? There's justification, sanctification, glorification, procrastination. I mean, they just all in order there, all right? Look, don't forget God. Don't forget my commandments. You know, in education, we learn certain principles, especially in math class. You learn how to multiply and divide and add and subtract. Those principles never change, do they? 2 and 2 is always 4. The square root of 144 is what? 12, isn't it? If I remember square roots right, it's the multiple of itself. All right? So don't go any higher than 144. I'll get out of luck. All right? Now, look, there's some things we shouldn't forget. How to use a dictionary. How to spell correctly. I'm so thankful my computer has a spell check program. But you know one of the interesting things about a spell check program? It will not catch from and form. If you want to write from and you write form, it won't catch it. Okay? And there's several other words like that. So you still have to proof things. But don't forget my teaching. Don't forget my commandments. Why? There's benefits to that. Length of days and years of life and peace. They will add to you. You can add to your life and you can take away from your life spiritually and physically. These are general principles. These are not guaranteed promises in the Proverbs. But here we're told that if we remember our teaching and we remember the commandments, well, not only does that apply to day-to-day life, but how does that work with manners? Ever get thumped on the head because you didn't say thank you to somebody? I think my mother had the longest arm in all of Northeast Arkansas. There were times, you know, how she reached me, I don't know. Bam! Back of the head. I told you to mind your manners. Yes, ma'am. You didn't say, yeah, at that point. Okay, that was a good way to get in trouble. But see, when we talk about teaching and we talk about commandments, we talk about the benefits. It's not just educational things. It's not just mannerly things. But what about our health and our spiritual needs and our day-to-day life? These commandments make a difference, don't they? I don't know how you are about some of the things that you learned growing up. I won't pick up a snake. You say, are you scared? Not with a hoe in my hand, I'm not. You say, well, that's silly. No, it's not. There's certain things I'm not going to do. All right? I'm not a fan of sushi. You may be. I'm like former quarterback Terry Bradshaw. He said where he came from, that was called bait. You know, I agree with him. Now you say, well, what are you talking about? Commandments, teaching. It impacts every part of our lives. But look at what he says next in verse 3. Do not, or let not, steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Isn't that powerful? Let God's grace, God's covenant love, God's power and ability be with you all of your life. Stick close to the Lord. One of the things that I love to watch about little kids, little toddlers, when they come into a strange place, they stick real close to mom and dad, don't they? I mean, sometimes it's like, sometimes you just want to get away. No. But aren't you glad that they understand that? that there may be danger there? Do we understand there is no danger in serving God? His love is always there. His faithfulness is always there. And so what does Solomon tell us to do? Bind them around our neck and write them on our tablet of our heart. What are we supposed to do with the Word of God? Hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against God? So that we know the answers that we need to know when crises arise in life? And if you do this, notice what he says. You'll find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. It's just not that God, that man will recognize what you do. But God will too. God will recognize our wisdom, our willingness to trust him, our willingness to stick close to his love. Notice what he says next in verses 5 through 8. We know these verses. We've heard these verses all of our lives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on what? Your own understanding. One of the things that I found quite humorous when I started teaching at the seminary was one of my former teachers was still teaching there, and she found out what I was teaching, and she started laughing. When Mrs. Ella Jones found out I was going to teach some grammar, she just got a kick out of it. She said, "You?" I said, "Well, yes, ma'am, that's what they assigned me." She said, "Well, when you need help, I'm here." I love that lady, but I'll tell you one thing. You wasn't going to sneak any grammar by her. She knew it. Good success will be recognized. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. When you have problems in life, graduates, it's okay to seek counsel. The proverb says, in the multitude of counsel, there's much wisdom. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes in our wonderful American spirit, we're going to do it on our own. We're going to be the Lone Ranger. No, Lone Ranger even had Tonto. All right? So don't go through life alone. There's too many people there to help you. And if you'll stay a part of a church, what you'll find is there's a whole church full of people that'll love you and pray for you and encourage you and help you. So don't go through life alone. Don't let that happen to you. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge God. Why? He'll make straight your paths. He'll straighten everything out. He'll show you the right direction and the right path. The Bible tells us very clearly that we're to seek the Lord in all that we do. And when we do that, what we will find ourselves being able to do is that we will be able to follow the right way. I have a wonderful thing in my vehicle. It's called GPS. But there's been a few times I don't think it knew where it was going. Because there's been a handful of times I've been following that thing, and it I thought I was lost. All right? You say, "Well, why did you follow it?" Because it's easier than unfolding and refolding a map. And I'm male. Okay, we don't consult maps. We know where we're going. If you don't believe us, ask our wives. Because we've not listened a number of times. Our trust is to be in the Lord. We're not to lean to our own understanding. We're to acknowledge him. Then it says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Don't fear people. Don't fear things. Fear the Lord. And when we do that, what happens? It says it'll be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Now let me put it another way. You'll wake up spiritually refreshed if you follow the Lord, if you do His will. And that's what the Bible asks us to do. So graduates and all of us, we need to learn to do that, and we need to learn to turn from evil so that the turmoil of life will not overwhelm us. In verses 9 through 12, Solomon offers us some interesting insights. He says, first of all, honor the Lord with what? With the essence of your being, with your wealth, your first fruits. Why? So God can take care of you. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot outgive God. You say, how do you know? Because there's been a few times I've placed a check in an offering plate and that was it for the week. Here came the ramen noodles and rice. Y'all ever lived that way? You know, you pay all the bills and there's $18.95 left. You wonder what you're going to do. One of the things that I've learned is God will take care of His. And you can look at me and tell me I have not missed many meals. So God takes care of us. Now, the one thing I will say here, culturally, don't look for the bursting of wine in your vats. Stay away from that, okay? Just free advice. Because the Bible warns us about what happens with it. You say, well, why would he say that? He's telling us about prosperity. In the last two verses, Solomon goes as deep as he can possibly go into wisdom and care and the things of the Lord. He says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. When we make a mistake, when we make a mess out of things, and God convicts us about it, don't get mad that you're being convicted. Get glad because God loves you enough to do that. It's very important that we learn from Scripture how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. And that's a process, not an event. We learn on a day-to-day basis. One of the things that I remember very vividly about raising my own family was when Clay was born, my dad said, you'll turn around twice and throw him the keys. And I thought, no, that's 16 years. I turned around twice and I threw him the keys. But you know what I remembered the day I threw him the keys? Is how old I thought I was that day when my dad gave me a set of keys and said, you can drive on your own. You say, well, why? Because if I'd have listened to my inner self, he would have never got those keys. But you see, as a good homespun philosopher told me years ago, God creates children to grow up and be adults. We've all been there, haven't we? So look at what he says. Don't despise. Don't hold it against God that he wants to teach you and help you and encourage you and strengthen you. And he does that sometimes with reproof and discipline. Why? Verse 12, because he loves you. My father used to tell me quite often in the backside of a cotton field, son, this is going to hurt you, me worse than it does you. I really thought he was lying to me until I had to do it. Now, Clay never got a whip in the backside of a cotton field, folks. Don't think that. But he got a few. And it just absolutely crushes you when you have to do that. But why do you do it? Because you love them. You want their life to be what God wants it to be. Here, the Lord says, "For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, and as a father, the son in whom he delights." This is what God does for us. All the benefits that are in these verses are ours. if we seek his wisdom. Get wisdom, the proverb says, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing, Solomon will say later in chapter 5. It's important for us, as we come to a Sunday where we celebrate our graduates, that we also remember graduation. That we remember that it's God's wisdom that we need. And the greatest wisdom of God that we need is the wisdom to understand that we're sinners, apart and separate from Jesus Christ. And that his love sent his son to the cross. And that that cross was emptied and they put Jesus in a grave. And on the third day he rose again. And the greatest wisdom you can ever have in your life is the one who finds that wisdom by trusting and believing and following Jesus Christ. The wisdom of the Lord. Look at verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Used to have a history teacher. When he would finish the lesson, he would look at it and say, "Did you get it?" You say, "Well, why?" Well, he woke some of us up. All right. Did you get it? Do we get wisdom? Do we get it that God loves us? Do we get it for those of us who already know the Lord to share it with others? Do we get it to live for him? Let's find God's wisdom. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and for your grace, for the strength that you give to us each and every day. Father, we pray our richest blessings, your richest blessings, upon these graduates today, watch and care over their lives. Give them the strength that they need each and every day. But Father, help us all to get wisdom. Help us all to lean not to our own understanding, but to yours. So Father, today, if there's one here that needs your wisdom, that needs you as Savior and Lord and Master of their lives, they need to follow you in baptism or church membership or just a closer walk with you, oh Father, today, let your will be done in their hearts and in their lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.